Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority. Woo-hoo! WFXS America. 98.7 The Foxy Village.
A very pleasant manic Monday to you as we get ready for a brand spanking new week. It's Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Oh, the sun is out. Life is good.
You're a happy boy.
It is wonderful. It is a boring weather day.
Well, no, wait a minute.
The way it's not supposed to be.
It's not boring. This is great.
It is boring, and I like it that way.
Boring and great. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
He puts boring and great together, right? That's perfectly fine. Hey, friends, welcome to a Monday show. Open lines, plenty of things to talk about. We have a lot of good guests again coming up this week, including our friend Joe Bastardi, WeatherBell.com. He'll be joining us next hour, and you can ask him about boring weather.
He will not be happy. I am delighted.
How do you know he won't be happy?
Because the weather's boring. He does not like boring weather.
Well, I tell you what. Now, of course,
have you not been paying attention when he's been on with us?
Well, he does seem to like
you need to
tornado
pay better
attention and snow and ice and okay, you got a point there. All right, that's fine. I tell you what. For Penn State graduation weekend, could you have picked better/more boring weather? I mean, it was absolutely el perfecto. And so if somehow you're a new graduate and you're listening to us, congratulations. You've got your, do they still call it a sheepskin? You have your sheepskin. All right. That's supposed to mean your diploma. All right. And just, I mean, the weather Saturday was great. The weather yesterday was great. There was some graduation ceremonies Friday evening. Yeah, not so great, but at least it wasn't raining. So beautiful. I mean, you could not have picked a better Penn State graduation weekend. Just right on the money. So good for them. All right, there we go. I stayed out of state college over this weekend because I wasn't going to get it messed up with either crowds or traffic or crowds in traffic. And so I just stay right out of the way. Now, of course, all right, speaking quietly because we're talking to the locals now.
Oh, boy.
It's a wide open town.
You do say.
It's a wide open town. It's safe to go downtown to go to a restaurant or something, you know, because I assume tens of thousands of people decided to go elsewhere by yesterday. So, hey, it's a wide, this is the time, right, we locals, this is the time we dream about.
Let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll into State College. Mm-hmm. Okay, there we go. All right, so yay! It's like wide open zones, so there we go.
That's party time.
Good stuff, all right.
The big news, of course, today, the plane is gone.
Oh, really?
Vamoose!
You saw it.
It is out of here.
Now,
well, I didn't see it.
Okay. Well,
it's no longer there.
Well, that's what I meant, all right? You didn't. Now, do you have details on what happened to said plane? Or
somebody moved it. I have it on good authority that somebody moved it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I am presuming. I did talk to somebody that seemed to be more in the know. So I don't know this, but they said that they actually, he suspects, they disassembled the plane.
That's what I thought.
And loaded it up, and I think it was from, now I got to look it up, I think it was Virginia. Now I'm forgetting, but anyways, thinks they probably took it back to where the owner was at least storing the plane, or I think he lives in that general area. Anyway, he's like, I'm pretty sure. He didn't know for sure, but he's like, generally speaking, because of the damage to the wing, they wouldn't dare try to just fly it. Yeah. Right? That's why they made the... So, anyways, that's what it sounded like, is that they were going to, or, well, now have, disassembled it, and then... still would be a wide load, but I'm thinking that the plane just is the plane, and they're like having to they take it out to the local airport and have to shut everything down. Sure. Which, but that is not apparently what is likely to have happened to said plane. But it's no longer there, one way or another. It is it has moved on.
They took the wings off. I figured if they were going to do it, I don't know how you do that. You take the wings off, and then you put it on the back of a tractor trailer or a trailer, and then off you go. I thought it was a local plane. You're saying it wasn't a local plane. I thought it was.
No.
Oh.
No, it was, yeah, I'll have to, now, Virginia is sticking in my mind, and I really don't know why Virginia is sticking in my mind, so, I don't know if that was from the conversation we had, or I don't know why that's in my mind. Anyways, it is no longer there.
Virginia on my mind.
Uh-huh.
Or that's another state.
Well, okay. You know.
All right. Well, that's a bummer, because all these weeks we've been driving by. There it is.
Very exciting.
And now it's gone.
Yes.
Oh, I'm heartbroken. Well, not really. All right.
Forget about it.
Okay. So they got rid of the plane. Very nice. All right. Speaking of other flying objects. All right. Now, last week we mentioned that there was this old Soviet satellite that's been apparently circling the Earth for like 50 years. And somehow,
back in the day.
That's a long time. And mm-hmm. It was time for this thing to come down, apparently.
Oh.
And I mentioned that there was a European tracking website trying to figure out, okay, where is this thing going to come down? And they weren't exactly sure. And so they put a map out with a bunch of lines, like, okay, here's one possibility. Okay, here's another possibility. One of those lines went directly over us.
Oh, boy.
All right? It went right over us. I'm thinking, are you serious? Well, the good news is, A, it came down. B, it didn't hit anything. Because, C, it ended up in the Indian Ocean. Okay? Splash. This thing's like 3 or 4 feet wide and about 1,000 pounds. So it apparently didn't like burn up in the atmosphere, because this is a big item. And apparently it landed in the Indian Ocean on Saturday. So I don't know if anybody witnessed it. I didn't see any stories that somebody did, but that's the claim from professional people. Right into the Indian Ocean. There we go. So, one less thing to worry about on your list today. There we go. All right, now, I like horse racing. I love horses, okay? And so last Saturday, well, a week ago, was the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, this Saturday now is the Preakness, which is down in Baltimore. Unfortunately, the Preakness won't be quite as exciting.
No.
Because the folks that own the Kentucky Derby winner, Sovereignty, announced a few days ago, for whatever reason, nope, he's not going to run in the Preakness. I don't know. They thought it's too much for him. I'm not sure. He's apparently going to run in the Belmont Stakes. Now, that's up in New York in 4 weeks. Let's see. Yeah, it's 2 weeks to the Preakness, and then, 2 weeks to the Preakness, 3 weeks to the Belmont? Is that right? Or is it 2-2-2? I can't remember. It's in June.
I thought it was 2-2-2, but
it's in June, okay? The doggone race is in June.
That is all right.
Did you see this story? I had no idea about this. All right? So Sovereignty wins the Kentucky Derby. Woohoo! Lots of people are excited. The jockey is Junior Alvarado. And if you watch the race, last weekend, I mean, he was, excited, obviously, and great and so on.
Yeah, for some reason, he was, like, happy.
He was really happy, But did you see he's been fined? The jockey has been fined over $60,000. Woo, that's a chunk of change. I didn't know they keep track of this. He was fined for hitting the horse with his riding crop too many times during the race. Did you know that? They actually, apparently, somebody counts the number of times. Now, a riding crop is, it's not a stick, but it's a short item. And if you watch a race, you know, when they're getting down to, like, toward the finish line, a jockey can take the riding crop and kind of smack the back end of the horse to say, come on, come on, go, 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 come on, come on, go, go, go. All right.
Well, now, I actually learned something over the weekend myself about that. I got fined.
Oh.
radio station management has fined me.
Oh, my.
I hit my head against the wall too many times. So that, there is apparently an official limit.
That's the dent.
I right did there. Not realize right. I was up. I knew about the limit. I thought I was still within
I
my.
I didn't know there was a
limit. I had forgotten about Thursday. Thursday, it's a weekly limit, and I forgot about hitting my head against the wall repeatedly on Thursday, and I went a little bonkers on Friday, and I have been notified. I have been fined.
Okay.
You've got to be careful in the radio industry. We all hit our head against the wall repeatedly. It's what we do in the radio business, but there's a limit, folks. There's a limit.
Okay. Boss did not send me that memo, but all right.
That's apparently, you're still in the clear.
Yes, thank you. I wondered what the dent was in the wall there. There it is. Okay.
Yep.
But apparently, in these horse races, somebody is counting the number of times a jockey kind of smacks the horse. And Junior Alvarado smacked his horse too many times during the Kentucky Derby. Now, the horse is fine. Horse is okay. It's not like the, you know, the
well,
the
says you.
Well, no.
Nobody's talked to the horse to find out whether, hey, I think one's too many times here.
Mr. Ed? Okay. Hello, I'm Mr. Ed. Remember Mr. Ed? For those
easy for us to say. Oh, yeah. He can take 10 smacks, but you hit him that 11th time.
Well,
now we're...
and that gets
the horse is like, no, how about no times? How about zero? That works for me.
Well, because I need you to go a little faster, so I give you a tap. Although, I've seen some races where it's a bit more than a tap.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like whack, whack, whack. But if it gets the horse to win the race, then everybody's happy. Maybe not the horse. Everybody's well. Apparently, they count the number of whacks. I had no idea. Now it doesn't have this story brief.
That's
got to
look good on the resume.
Yes.
At the major horse races, keep track of the number of times the jockeys hit the horse. If there's anything I can help you with at your office, please. Here's my contact information.
Now I don't. There's no. I have a story brief. There's no number in the story brief. But I get now. Imagine if you're the jockey, okay? You're on the horse, boom, 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 boom. You're thundering down the racetrack, and are you like 3, 4, 5? I can't imagine jockeys. They're busy trying to win a race. They're not counting the number of times you do that little maneuver.
Do we now? I'm going to have to do some research. Do we know what the number is?
No,
is it like
I've got a magic number.
Like you got to stay in the.
I've got a story, but I'll see if I can find out.
Yeah, I'll do some digging.
All right.
That's
I've never heard of such a thing. I figured the jockey could do as many as he wanted.
I didn't know it was the number. I know there was a big story. Actually, I think it was around the time that Jeremy Rose was the Bellefonte native. There was something in one of those races that there was something about the they had changed, and I don't think it was necessarily at that time. It's just I was reading more about horse racing at the time, and there had been a change about. I didn't remember the number necessarily. I just know that they didn't want horses to be beaten, which seems like a pretty reasonable.
Yes.
And I know there were a couple of stories about it. I really am forgetting the details. I don't remember it being, but it may very well have been the number of times that you're allowed to hit the horse with the crop. That's, yeah. Anyways. So he got fined, what was it, $60,000?
He got fined, actually, I'm looking at a story here. Whoop, if that other stuff would go away. Over $62,000. Okay, $62,000. Let's see here. Okay, I found a story here. All right, here we go. Now, this particular jockey, all right, Junior Alvarado, I'm reading from a CNBC story here. Alvarado was found to have struck sovereignty 8 times during the Kentucky Derby. The maximum is 6 times.
Really?
I had no idea. Now, I swear I've seen some races where some of those jockeys are whacking away more than 6 times. All right, I'm certain I've seen that.
Yeah,
he apparently did it 8 times, and for this particular jockey, apparently it's the second time he has done this in the past half year.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and again, we're talking the limit is 6. He did 8. Now, we're not talking the limit is 6. He did 26.
Yeah.
All right, this is 6 and 8. And he gets fined $62,000. Apparently, it's the second time in the past half year that he's done this. So, along with the fine, he also is suspended for 2 days racing in Kentucky. Racing in Kentucky. Now, maybe this is just a Kentucky Derby rule. So, in other words, you go to the Preakness and the rule is different. I don't know. I don't see that anywhere, but maybe a particular racetracks. So Churchill Downs, which I've been to, it's an amazing place. Maybe different tracks have different rules and so on. Either way, but apparently he owes $62,000, and in Kentucky, he is not allowed to race on May 29th and 30th. He's out. He can't race those 2 days.
Very interesting.
Interesting. Now, I swear I've seen some races where those jockeys are like, whack, 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 whack. And there's a limit. I had no idea there was a limit, but there you go. 6. Huh. 6 is the limit. How many times did you hit the wall with your head?
Well, see, now, it's radio, so you're allowed up to 80 in the week.
80?
Yes. I got carried away. I admit, on Friday, it was, we got to 98.
Oh!
Nearly 100.
Are you serious?
I didn't realize, to be honest, I knew I was hitting my head against the wall, obviously, on Thursday. I didn't realize, Thursday alone, I mean, it was rough. Thursday alone was, I would have guessed I was around 15. Boss says, nope, 33 times on Thursday alone. And that's what really cost me, the Thursday. So today, I am going to be very careful to keep myself in check. 12 at the most.
No.
12 at the most today. I gotta save up for later in the week.
Well, come on, we gotta do better than 12.
I feel like there are some bad things coming later in the week.
I
don't know if I can do single digits. I really don't. Have you seen what we're doing here?
Let's move on. Okay. Let's see before we take a break. Scott here. I'm a geek in a number of things. I'm a bit of a marketing geek.
Yeah.
And I'm a marketing geek because, okay, when companies have a product or a service or something, they want you to buy the product, buy the service. You know, how do they convince you to try their product or try their service? And marketing to me, sales I can't stand, but marketing is fascinating because the idea is I'm trying to convince somebody to do something I want them to do. In other words, buy my product. All right. Now, if you were listening on Friday at the very, very end of the show, it was like the last minute and I kind of squeezed it in. We were talking about soft drinks, sodas. Okay. And I did my favorite game quiz, the Iron Head. Okay. What are the top 4 favorite sodas?
And I was surprised.
And they have changed.
Yeah.
All right. Coke is by far number 1. They're a solid number 1. Coke has been solid for a very long time.
That didn't surprise me.
Number 1. Number 2 is Dr. Pepper.
That's what surprised me.
All right. And that surprised me too. Now, Dr. Pepper has been number 2 for a little while now. This story that I had from late last week, there is a new number 3 on the list, and that is Sprite. Sprite, now Sprite is a Coke product, but Sprite is number 3. Pepsi has now slid to number 4. So at the Pepsi, wherever the Pepsi offices are, they cannot be pleased right now because they were a solid number 2. They're now down to number 4. Whoa. So why is Dr. Pepper number 2 and why is Sprite number 3? Well, this particular story I found, all right, Sprite has been doing a marketing campaign. If you watch TV and you've seen the ads, you've seen the campaign. It's called the Obey Your Thirst campaign.
Mm.
Now, according to the story, if you're old enough to remember, Obey Your Thirst is not new. All right. Sprite started doing this particular campaign like 30 years ago. And of course, no surprise, they use sports stars. Okay. Let's see. Back then, 30 years ago, it was Grant Hill, the basketball star, Grant Hill. Now, it's the basketball star Anthony Edwards, who's kind of today's version of Grant Hill. And Sha'Carri Richardson, who is a women's track and field star. She's great. And so maybe you've seen their recent ads on TV for Obey Your Thirst, grab a Sprite, drink it down, okay? And apparently, all right, it's not like the soda changed, it's the same soda. People have bought into this to enough that Sprite has now jumped over Pepsi. Now, Dr. Pepper is number two. I'm sorry, am I the only one? Those Dr. Pepper college football ads I find annoying. I just like, okay, this is how we sell soda? Remember, you've seen those ads. You got the goofy sheriff. You got the guy who paints his face red and white because he's all into college football. You've got the guy dressed up as a mascot who can't throw straight, and some other, you know, characters in those ads. All right, it's just like, this is how you sell soda. Well, apparently,
can you just hold down the fort for a minute? I'm gonna sneak out and just I'm gonna go down and. Got a doctor. I just have a craving for a Dr. Pepper. If you can, I'll be right back.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Don't go. Okay, I'll talk. I won't talk long. Apparently, I mean, what else is there to go on? What's it called? Fansville from Dr. Pepper. Apparently, those ads are effective. People have been running out to buy Dr. Pepper, and they're number two on the list. And now Sprite, with their new Obey Your Thirst campaign, has now moved up to number three. Pepsi, I guess, hasn't done much lately. They've slid to number four. So, you know, we'll take our break here, but maybe later on when we have some open time, you know, what causes you to buy something? I just find that fascinating. And, of course, there are, you know, for those of us that are old enough to remember, where's the beef? Remember those? Where's the beef? You had this little old lady who looked grumpy. And she would, and these are this is Wendy's restaurant, fast food chain. Where's the beef? By the way, that's like 40 years ago.
Are you sure? I thought those were Toyota commercials. You're saying those were Wendy's commercials?
Where's the beef?
I thought that was a Toyota. No, hey, you might be right.
It was Wendy's.
All right.
But it was Wendy's from like 40 years ago. Iconic campaign featuring this little old grumpy lady, and all she would do is stare at the camera and yell, "Where's the beef?" And Wendy's sales, whoop! Up they went.
Well, yeah.
Because of the little grumpy old lady saying, where's the beef?
Yeah.
So if you're a marketing genius, I tell you what, there's companies out there waiting to hear from you, like Pepsi, to get their sales back up. I just find that stuff fascinating. So maybe later on, what's your favorite, marketing pitch that you've seen on television or ads and so on? Do you have a favorite right now? It was so good, it made you go out and buy the product. Because apparently it works. All right, so we'll take a break here. Got a sports segment coming up. All right, what's your favorite marketing pitch? Obey Your Thirst. All right, you're back. Okay, I'm glad you came back. So you got your Dr. Pepper.
Tastes so good.
I just the Fansville ads. I just find annoying. They're annoying. It's like, the answer is, yeah, this really sells soda. So, hey, keep on going if it works. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. Sports segment, Trump and Company. Oh, yeah, we got some things about them. New plane. Very nice. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. We'll come back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, The Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, but they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, Printing and More Printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing, and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It is Let's Talk here on a Monday. Very nice looking Monday. Comfortable Monday. Hope everybody had a wonderful Mother's Day, especially all of you moms out there. We had a great day. Went out for a nice picnic lunch. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Enjoyed the afternoon. We have got a busy week on the local sports front, like our house.
Oh, we local, have local. Oh.
We have the big fourth grade track and field meet.
Ooh, that's a big event.
Yes, with all of the local, State College School District elementary schools competing on Tuesday. The Dear Mad Turtle has his concert, non-sports related, on Wednesday evening. But we've got baseball practice tonight, baseball game tomorrow, baseball game, I think, on Thursday, and rock climbing on Friday.
Yeesh.
So we've got a week.
Holy moly.
Is what we got in the making here.
Wow.
Looking forward to it, though. Should be a lot of fun with all that this week will encompass. All right, let's take a check of the sports scene. Not a lot. Of course, it was graduation weekend for Penn State, but couple of big Penn State sports stories. Penn State men's lacrosse defeating Colgate 13-11 in the opening round of the NCAA tournament on Saturday evening. This was kind of a back-and-forth affair. Penn State was actually down 11-10 late in the game, and then the Nittany Lions scored the final three goals over the final few minutes and pulled out the victory. Reed Gills won 21 of the 28 faceoffs, and Liam Matthews scored four goals to lead Penn State. Matt Traynor added three goals, and Ethan Long had a goal and three assists. Penn State improving to 11-4 on the season. You have to feed the beast. The beast in this case, Penn State men's lacrosse, they ate, and they ate heartily on Saturday evening. Our Feed the Beast segment in our local sports brought to you by the Setter Hall Farm Store. You can check them out. Online or in person, they have all of the feed you need to feed the beast. Whether your beast is a cat or a dog or a pig, a horse, a cow, any other farm animal, or perhaps you just like feeding the beasts that we call birds. Setter Hall Farm Store is proud to sponsor our Feed the Beast segment. You can check them out online at setterhallfarmstore.com or in person at 110 Allison Street in Setter Hall. With the win, Penn State, again, defeating Colgate 13-11 in the opening round of the NCAA championships. The fifth-seeded Nittany Lions now will take on Ohio State in the quarterfinals on Sunday at noon. This is just the third time in school history that Penn State is into the quarterfinals of the men's lacrosse tournament. Again, Sunday at noon in Annapolis, Maryland, Penn State will take on, did I say Ohio State? Notre Dame. Notre Dame hammered Ohio State. The Buckeyes were the fourth seed, and Notre Dame won 15-6 in that opening round matchup.
That is a hammer, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be Penn State and Notre Dame in Annapolis, Maryland. Again, that'll be Sunday at noon. Obviously, the winner advances to the Final Four and will be two wins away from a national championship. The winner will face likely the number one overall seed, Cornell, in that semifinal round. And I'm blanking on who Cornell is facing. I'll look that up here in a moment in their quarterfinal matchup. I think they actually play on Saturday, Cornell. Penn State baseball team winning its series with Rutgers over the weekend. The Nittany Lions won the opening game of the series Friday night 7-5. Jack Porter knocked in the go-ahead runs with a two-run double in the top of the ninth. And then Penn State took the second game Saturday night 11-7. Jack Porter again starring in the game offensively. He homered twice in that one. The big inning for Penn State on Saturday was that second inning, seven runs put up by the Nittany Lions in that second inning, and they held off Rutgers from there. Rutgers did salvage the final game of the series yesterday, 9-6. Penn State had a 5-2 lead in yesterday's game before the Scarlet Knights were able to rally for the victory. So the Nittany Lions are now 29-20 overall. They finish regular season play in the Big Ten with a record of 15-15. Now, they do have games remaining this week, four games remaining on the schedule. Big one coming up tomorrow night, in part because of the opponent, it's Pitt, but also because of the venue. They will be playing at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Nittany Lions and Panthers, 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at PNC Park, the best minor league stadium in all of baseball. Oh, no, they're officially counting that still as a major league stadium, even though, okay.
Come on.
Well, I didn't realize. Penn State finishes the regular season then with a three-game series against Xavier. That series will actually get underway on Thursday. So it'll be Thursday at 5:30, Friday at 6, and that series will be played Friday's game, I should say, will be played at FNB Field in Harrisburg, and then the Senior Day festivities back at Medler Field at Lebrono Park will begin probably around 12:30 or so. The game, the final regular season game for Penn State, will begin at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. All right, State College baseball team losing to Hazleton on Saturday 9-1. The Little Lions finished the regular season with a record of 10 wins and 11 losses. Tyrone topped the Penns Valley baseball team Saturday 12-5. The Rams are now 1-18 and will head to Martinsburg today to take on Central at 4:30. The Dragons are 14-5 on the season. Bellefonte baseball team will be hosting Clearfield this afternoon at 4:30. The Red Raiders are 9-8, while the Bison are 9-9. Should be a good one there. Bald Eagle area baseball team will host Tyrone this afternoon in the regular season finale at 4:30. Bellefonte softball will visit Clearfield this afternoon at 4:30. The Lady Red Raiders are 13-2 on the season. Lady Bison come in at 6-11. And what else do we have? Bald Eagle area softball hosting Tyrone at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Bald Eagle area is 14-3, while Tyrone is 8-6. Penns Valley softball team is 8-5 on the season, and will host 6-13 Central this afternoon at 4:30. Fullsburgos Eula softball team will be hosting Bishop Guilfoyle today at 4. The Lady Mounties are 10-6, while BG comes in. They've had a bit of a rough season. They are 1-12 on the year heading into today's game. Well, how about those Pittsburgh Pirates? I mean, red hot. They've won two of three since the managerial change, and everything is just looking rosy once again in Pittsburgh. They are beginning their mount toward the World Series here in 2025. My dear friend, the horse, has agreed to be our World Series correspondent.
Who?
The deer horse.
Okay.
He will be our correspondent for the World Series victory parade in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Should it occur. He's volunteered and bravely, courageously, offered to handle those duties, because it's going to be quite chaotic in the downtown Pittsburgh area with that parade here at the season's end. Don Kelly got ejected. That's the interim manager of the Pirates. I do like, Don Kelly is, I like him. Pirates did get the walk-off win over the Braves in the series finale yesterday, 3-2, as a wild pitch gave the Braves the win on Saturday, 3-2. Pirates won their opening game with Don Kelly as manager on Friday. So again, the Bucks take 2 of 3 in the series, and I mean, how could you not be just flat out giddy if you are a Pirates fan? We'll take it. I mean,
they won 2 out of 3. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to have much to celebrate this season.
Come on.
So let's celebrate the series victory for the interim manager. Phillies shut out the Guardians 3-0, and Philadelphia improves to 24-16 now on the season. The Phillies are a game and a half in back of the National League East leading New York Mets. Yuck. Pirates, by the way, 14-27 on the season. That's after winning 2 of 3,
well, yes,
against Atlanta.
There you go. Slowly but surely wins the race. Right?
San Diego Padres, my kiddo's favorite team.
Oh, boy.
If you miss this, now they lost yesterday in the series finale to the Rockies. What? Yes, they actually lost that game 9-3. They won the first two, though, of the series, including Saturday's game.
Oh, boy.
Which, if you missed it, the final was San Diego 21, Colorado nothing.
Football game.
Nothing. Yes. Three touchdowns to Zippo for the Rockies. That may have contributed to Bud Black's firing as manager of the Colorado Rockies, or it could have something to do with the 7-33 start. Ooh. After yesterday's win.
Brutal.
Over the Padres. Colorado by far, I mean, again, the Pirates, if you've been watching and listening here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, I mean, they have been awful. They still have twice as many wins
yes.
as the See? Colorado Rockies, to Think give positive. You some idea of just how putrid
yes.
the Rockies have been to this point this season. And, of course, they get to play in a bandbox in the Mile High City. New York Yankees continue to put up ridiculous offensive numbers. Just real quick, looking around the standings, the Yankees lead the Red Sox by 2 games. Who's in last in the American League East?
Hey, my Orioles curiosity. Won 2 out of 3 against the Angels.
That would be the Orioles.
So you and I are in the same boat.
7.5 games behind the
Which ain't so bad.
Yankees in the American League East. True enough. American League Central, it is the Tigers with a 2.5 game lead over the Guardians. And in the American League West, it is the Mariners with a 2-game lead over the Astros. In the National League, again, the Mets are 1.5 up on the Phillies. The Cubs are 1 game up on the Cardinals in the Central. Pirates, again, are 9 games back. And then the National League West is just crazy. Well, throw Colorado out, but crazy good. Dodgers are 27-14 on the season. They have a 1-game lead over the San Diego Padres. Yep, Padres could have evened the standings there in the National League West if only they had defeated the Colorado Rockies,
lowly Rockies.
Yesterday. That does have to hurt. You win a game 21-0, and then you lose. And I know it's baseball.
They were tired.
Any given day.
They
yes.
were tired. That's what it was.
I can understand.
Yeah.
Giants, though, are sitting there at 24-17 and in third place in the National League West. If they were in any other division, they would be within a game of the top of the standings. Now, 3 games back here in the National League West. Diamondbacks are sitting there in fourth and 6 games back. So, still early. I get it in the overall scheme of things on the Major League Baseball front, but it has been rough. But a good weekend for the Pirates, and we will take it because we don't get to take much these days.
Oh, come on. You're fine.
Am I?
Yes.
I think we need to
Did they put up
that.
The skinny chimney yet at the minor league ballpark?
They have not
yet.
Oh,
they should do that.
A couple
marketing.
Of other just quick notes. Jonathan Sutherland reportedly, excuse me, is joining the Las Vegas Raiders, has signed with the Raiders after he was released by the Giants before last season, so he'll at least get a look, it appears, by the Raiders in camp. And Penn State men's basketball setter Yannick Konen Niederhauser invited to the NBA draft combine after he competed in the G League Elite this past weekend. Several accounts I read, he acquitted himself very well there, thus the invitation to the NBA Draft Combine in Chicago, Illinois. I got to tell you, if you're a Penn State basketball fan, you're a little bit torn here because you obviously want Niederhauser to be able to fulfill his dreams, and this is really cool, and it's good for the Penn State program to have a guy that could be heading to the NBA. But also, if he doesn't go to the NBA, he can come back here and play next.
So how does this work? If he is not drafted, he gets to come back.
He has the option still to, yes.
Has it always been that way?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't think so.
Niederhauser, in the 2 games he played at the G League camp, he had 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 blocks in the first game. And then in the second game, He had 14 points and 8 rebounds. I don't think he had any blocked shots in that second game. But, again, and Niederhauser is... of course, played this last season for Penn State, started his career at Northern Illinois, still has another season of eligibility remaining, but did declare for the NBA draft back in early April. The draft combine, by the way, will be this week, May 11th through the 18th. And if you're a Penn State fan, you're a little bit torn. It's like, you're not rooting against him, obviously, but boy, he'd be nice to have back in the lineup next year for the Nittany Lions. There's no doubt about that. And that is, I think, what I have from the world of sports.
So we'll take a break in a moment. If you're a social media person, I mean, I lost count of how many posts I saw over the weekend from various Penn State teams celebrating their graduates.
Yeah. So some really neat pictures.
So congratulations to all of them as football, basketball, oh my gosh, lacrosse. I mean, it was just a whole bunch of athletes.
Yep.
So congratulations.
Even wrestling.
There's one you know a little bit about. Yes, there we go.
On my page.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have open lines for the rest of the show. We've got some things. What do you think about some things?
Oh, we got things, baby.
I've got one sports-related thing, which I'll share maybe after the break.
All right.
The numbers are just... well, they're, you'll see when I divulge these numbers. Like, okay, now I get it.
We
now I understand.
The three new trustees, the alumni elected trustees for Penn State, as well, officially released on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that and share some more numbers.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Hey, don't go anywhere on a gorgeous Monday. We'll come back right after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society Gold Medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Ready to relax in style? Clearwater Swimming Pool Company is giving you the chance to win a Watkins 735L hot tub by Hot Springs at this year's Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th. This six-person luxury spa is built for the ultimate backyard escape. Loaded with powerful jets for a full-body massage experience, LED mood lighting for the perfect ambience, energy-efficient technology that saves money while keeping the water warm, and the trusted quality of Hot Springs spas, the leader in comfort and innovation. Entering is easy. Stop by Clearwater Pool and Spa in Center Hall now or visit our booth at the Belfont Cruise on June 13th and 14th to sign up. Don't miss your chance to bring home this incredible Watkins 735L hot tub from Hot Springs. Check us out online at groupclearwater.com or visit our Center Hall location to view our full lineup of hot spring spas. And while you're there, be sure to ask about our lineup of Imagine Pools and Ocean Reef fiberglass pools. Make a splash this summer with Clearwater Swimming Pool Company and the Bellefonte Cruise.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Let's talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you. It's the Let's Talk, and the phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266.
Anything you like. We'll get to Trump and Company later on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we'll get to that later on. Okay. all right, let's run some numbers. I call it fun with numbers.
Okay.
Because numbers are fun. They're fascinating. Statistics. You know, if you're any kind of a sports fan, have you ever done fantasy stuff, sports fantasy leagues? I've never done that.
I got sucked into one because it's a bunch of my college buddies. It is mostly guys that we lived together freshman year at Penn State on the dorm floor. I am just not a big fan of fantasy sports in general, in part because I'm a purist when it comes to my fandom, and I don't like being put into a position where I'm rooting for somebody on the other team to do well. If I'm a Steelers fan, I want you to shut down the entire offense of the other team. And it puts, for me, it's an uncomfortable position. Now again, I just do the one league and it's just, for fun and so I don't, there are people that, like, they're analyzing all this stuff. I usually do the auto draft because I usually have something going on the night that we do the draft. It's just the way it has worked out. But generally speaking, I don't like the fantasy leagues just as a fan because I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. I can't be rooting for the Pirates and hoping that Aaron Judge hits three more home runs against them because I have them in my fantasy team. That just does not, to me, compute.
So. I'm kind of there with you.
Yeah.
Now, some fun, there's nothing wrong with it. Fantasy
stuff. Of course
stuff.
Not.
Baseball,
not.
Football, you
it's
know,
it's an
other
amazing
stuff.
Business.
I mean, it's cool. It's interesting. It definitely has people's interest in sports games and stuff like
for
that.
For sure.
And athletes and stuff. That's fine. I'm kind of with you. You know, it's just that I'm going to pick a guy and he clobbers my favorite team. That doesn't make any sense, but I get it.
Well, okay. In the one or two times that I have actually drafted, And this is why I usually finish toward the bottom of our league. It's like, well, I'll draft. Now, I won't be unreasonable about it, but if there's a Steelers player available that's comparable to anything else that I need, so I'll go the Steelers route. Wow, but this guy's ranked fifth at the tight end spot instead of second. It's like, yeah, but he's a Steeler, and that other guy is a Raven, for crying out loud. So I sabotage myself because I don't want Cowboys. I don't want Ravens. I don't want to be rooting for Cowboys or Ravens on Sunday afternoons. But okay. That's why I should not be participating.
You're going to start banging your head on the wall. Yes. I want you to get another fine.
No, I don't. Right. We're going to be close. I have a feeling this week.
Yeah. So it would be interesting to do fantasy stuff. And when it's your time to pick on draft day, you kind of put a blindfold on or throw a dart on a wall. Okay,
yep.
That one.
Yeah.
Okay, that one is. And I wonder if you actually did that, a totally random, you know, a selection, and then how those guys end up doing as opposed to, I'm a real general manager, I'm going to pick these guys, and you end up flopping. So just do it. Just do the old dart on the wall thing, like, oh, I'll pick that one. All right, some numbers. All right, you mentioned the Penn State Alumni Trustee election.
I did.
Okay. It ended last week. And the formal announcement of winners, you know, numbers was over the weekend.
Yep.
So, again, congratulations, I guess. I say I guess because I wonder. Kelly Lynch, Gregory Pilowitz, and Uma Moriarty are the three alumni winners. Now, I'm not an alum, so you are. I'm not. I didn't vote in this gig.
I did. Right.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good because here's my complaint again. All right. Now, there were 17 people on the ballot running for three spots. Now, that's a little crazy. All right. It just is.
Yep.
17 people for three spots. And then throw in Barry Fenchak. All right. Now, if you follow this story at all, Mr. Fenchak was a trustee, ran afoul, I guess, of the trustee leadership.
He's a rabble rouser.
Somehow he was removed from the ballot.
Stirring the pot.
But he ran a write-in campaign, so maybe if you were in the Greater State College area, you saw yard signs.
He's a whack job. He wants fiscal responsibility and transparency. Get that nut job out of here! Okay.
Well,
alrighty then.
According to the numbers, Mr. Fenchak essentially finished 15th.
Yeah.
Out of 18 people.
No, and again, he was not right on the ballot. It
right
was a write-in campaign.
Now, here's the problem again. And, again, I'm not an alum. I'm sort of on the outside looking in here. Does Penn State have a problem here? All right? Penn State brags, deservedly so, about the Alumni Association. All those alums out there, like everywhere, there's the biggest alum group in the world or something like that, or in America, some such thing. And so I'm looking at this story, and I have to scroll down to the bottom. The total eligible voters, in other words, alums, for this election that ended last week, 743,852. Now that's something to be very proud of. I mean, that's genuine. That's amazing. 743,852. Total voters, alums. Total ballots cast, 17,720. Now, I did the math because I complained about this earlier. Last year it was like 3% of the total voters voted in this gig, which is abysmal. Well, you do the math this time, it's actually about 2.5%. It's actually worse than the last time. Only 2.5% of alums felt the need to vote in this election. Does Penn State have a problem here? I can't believe that. Now, is it somehow these people are not getting the message? Hey, it's time to vote. Vote for this. Here's how you do it. Or is it people don't care? Or is it people have a really, all right, I'll go out on a limb, negative view of the Board of Trustees that they're thinking, well, my vote is worthless. I'm not even going to bother doing this. It's a waste of my time. What do you think? You're an alum. You voted.
Yeah, I think it is a combination of all of the above. One,
you know, there are people that graduate and then it's like, all right, I'm in the real world. I'm done with Penn State now. This doesn't really impact me in any way. And so it's irrelevant to my life. And yeah, we, even though it might not take a lot of time to cast ballots, if you don't know any of the people running and you don't feel any, you know, connection, that is part of it. I do think part of it is a recognition that it really doesn't matter. And why doesn't it matter? So unlike, like, when you vote for your congressman or for your president or for your school board member, all of the people that are serving on the school board, the local is a better application here, but all of those people are elected. Imagine if your school board said, listen, we value your vote and you're going to be able to vote for two of the nine members that serve on our board. Excuse me? Yeah, the other seven are going to be appointed. Well, how are they going to be appointed? Well, it's a very complex, we don't really have time to explain it to you. It's a very complex process, but we one is appointed by the governor. The others, we have our ways. But what are those ways? Well, it's too complicated for you to understand. You wouldn't understand. Well, that's not a good way to go about deciding a governing body. Oh yeah, but it works for us. But the two people we elect would be overpowered by the seven people you appoint. Oh yeah, yeah, that's true. But just trust us. We know what we're doing. But we don't trust you. You made some horrible decisions. We watched it in 2012. You kind of blew up the university. Oh, well, that was a crisis, and it might have been mishandled a little bit. A little bit? Yeah, but no, we got it under control now. We're good. That doesn't work.
Well,
so yes, I think a lot of people are looking at it. And it's like, okay, we get to elect nine people, three people annually. Nine people on right. The board are elected. Mm-hmm. The other 29 voting members of the board. Well, 29-9. You do the math there, kids. And when somebody does get elected, that actually is going to go in there and try to change things a little bit, and hey, maybe some transparency over here. Oh, we got to get him off of the board. We'll change the rules to make sure he can't even get on the ballot. What? What?
Well,
yeah, no, that's the way this works. The board is way too big. Way too big.
38.
Yeah, it needs to be reduced by about 29. And then if you had nine elected officials, see, I think you'd get some more participation. I also think you'd get a much more effective, transparent, all-around good board. It is a disaster what they have right now. It is just an unmitigated disaster.
Okay.
One man's opinion.
All right. Well, we'll take a break in a moment. I wonder if a lot of other alums think the same as what you just echoed.
It's the power of bureaucracy.
It's a waste of my time to even vote in this thing because the people elected have no power because they're outnumbered. Now, is that right or wrong? We'll take our break. And when we come back, we have other things to talk about. But do you agree with that? That this alumni election, they might as well, I won't say don't do it, but it's a joke. Because, again, 2.5% of eligible people voted in this election. And they didn't have to go anywhere. It was done online.
Yeah.
It's not like I had to go to a polling place. That's always been the argument. All right, we have our primary next week, like regular spring primary, like, you know, local offices and stuff like that, where a lot of us still have no problem going to a polling place. All right, I still like that. This was an online election. You could do it on your phone in 5 minutes. 2.5% of people did that. Does Penn State have a problem? I think they do. All right. Now, I'm not an alum. I'm sort of the outside looking in, but I think they clearly have a problem here. Now, does the Board of Trustees care? Maybe not. It's like, hey, we got what we want. All right, that's fine. We had an election. There it is. Where only 2.5% of people voted. There's something there. Let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. All right, what do you think? We'll come back with more after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Bellefonte cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Bellefonte. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dotter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dotter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State College.
We launch hour number two of Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. Excuse me. Phone line is open at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266.
All right. Do I want to get in trouble today?
Always a tough call.
Let me mention this. We've got some great guests. Tomorrow, our friends from the Center Foundation are going to join us because their big event, and this thing is getting really big, is on Wednesday and Thursday, the Center Gives event, which is not two full days, but it's 2 days. where they do a big push where people can, you know, donate to charities, nonprofits in the area, and so on. I tell you, I've received postcards, I've received emails, I've received other things from different, you know, local outfits. Hey, don't forget us. Hey, don't forget us. You're going to do something on Wednesday. All right. This has become a really big event. And it's, you know, it's online, it's not online. So we're going to have guests from the Center Foundation tomorrow to tell us about this big event, you know, how it runs, what you can do, and how big this thing has become. This thing has become really big. And, again, a lot of publicity. Get ready. You're going to be, you know, depending on how, you know, connected you are and so on, you know, to certain groups and so on, you're going to be hearing stuff today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, about, hey, come on. Because a lot of these nonprofits, I mean, this is a big event for them because it's a major fundraiser for them. So we're going to have those guests coming up tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. All right, numbers. When I came across this, my first thought was, oh, that's interesting. But when I read further, I thought, okay, these numbers cannot be ignored. So here's the backstory.
It is unbelievable that a Major League Baseball team like the Pirates could have a team batting average. I'm with you. Is that not the numbers for?
No, that's not
oh,
it.
Okay.
No. It's sports related.
Okay. Right.
It's sports related, but
it is pretty incredible, though.
It's not that. It's not that.
All right.
So maybe, I don't know, circle this on your calendar. June 26th in Paris, Faith, and I hope I pronounce this right, Kipyegon is from Kenya. She's going to be in a race. Now, Kipyegon is a 3-time Olympic gold medalist, and the race in this case is the mile run. Now, when I first saw this story, the purpose of the story is that when she's in this race, she's going to be head-to-toe in Nike gear. All right, so this is like a Nike story. You know, obviously, that's why these companies, if it's Adidas or Nike, they do this sort of stuff. Like, we're going to have this racer. Everyone's going to be watching the race. She, in this case, she's going to be head-to-toe in Nike stuff. All right? The Nike swoosh. All right? Great. Wonderful. That's terrific. She's going to run the mile run. She wants to become the first woman to break the 4-minute mile.
Wow.
That has never happened. Now, right now, Kipyegon has the women's world record for the mile. And it's interesting, you know, so much stuff in international sports is meters, kilometers. For some reason, the mile is still iconic. And the idea is, can you break 4 minutes? A woman has never done this, which I did not know until I read this story. A woman has never broken the 4-minute mile. Kipyegon currently has the women's world record, 4 minutes, 7.64 seconds. So if she can actually do this, she's going to have to shave 8 seconds off of her world record. Now, that's a lot. 8 seconds is a lot of time. You might not think so, but, I mean, it is. Will she be able to do it? So on June 26th, apparently this race is going to get a lot of publicity and so on. Understandable. Nike will get free publicity. All right, good for them. That's fine. Then I kept on reading. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we know, if you know your sports history, Roger Bannister became the first man to break the 4-minute mile, I think in 1954, 3:59 point something. All right, whatever the number was, okay? The current men's world record is 3 minutes, 43.13 seconds. That's actually amazing. Caller, we'll get
that
to
you
in a little bit, okay? 340, here's another amazing thing. That record was sent back in 1999. It's been 26 years, and no one's been able to break that men's record. Now, I've got a startling number, but let's take our caller first.
All right.
That really, it's the number that jumps out in this story.
Okay.
All right, but let's take our caller first.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Hey, I'm sorry to throw a wrinkle into your program. I'm taking delivery of some fuel. But when I left off, I was listening to Jeff's overview of the voting situation to be representative as a graduate of Penn State. And it's very reflective of what we have going on in our just general politics. Look at the EU. I don't think any nation in the EU is represented at this point. The billionaire class is.
Yeah.
And I kind of think that's where Penn State is. I think, believe it or not, there are people who graduated from Penn State who are billionaires. And I think back in 2012, there was a sea change. It shifted from folks who were connected on a day-to-day basis running Penn State to more of a global class. And what I'm getting at is, if the global class is listening in, I'm sure they're not, we're in another sea change. And I think it's time to get, yes, representation from us lesser graduates and people who are more intimately connected with the day-to-day operations at Penn State. So I think it's a good topic of conversation going forward, and sorry to say this, but I got to get back to work. Take care, guys.
No, that's a good thing.
Very sorry to hear that.
No need to apologize for that, for goodness sakes. The Board of Trustees now, okay, the spring semester is now over. Done. Great. I really thought this was going to happen this week. I don't think it's going to happen this week, in part because Dr. Bendapudi, the Penn State president, is getting over some health issues. What about these branch campuses? All right. And apparently, the Board of Trustees is going to, they're the people in charge. All right. They're going to have some online meetings, I think starting like now, on what to do about these, about the branch campuses, keeping them open, or we're going to close some, you know, stuff like that and so on. Our friends from Spotlight PA ran a story of a few days ago. All right. Once again, the Board of Trustees sometimes has meetings and not exactly open. All right. The Sunshine Law and so on. If you're going to have a series of online meetings, does that meet the criteria for the Sunshine Law? Maybe not. Now, this is from a Spotlight PA store, and you can, you know, look it up at their website. And so they're going to get together apparently online to discuss this. So I don't think if there's an announcement, I originally thought it might be this week. It's probably going to be a little later now. But, you know, again, who's in charge here? And as far as elected officials are concerned, I can't understand 2.5%. That's a terrible number. That's abysmal. But does that send a message, A, and B, do they care? Maybe they don't. All right? We got the group of people we want. That's perfect. That's why I brought that up earlier. Maybe they don't give a hoot. I think 2.5% is embarrassing. Maybe they don't care. They probably sent out maybe one email to alums, hey, it's time to vote. Now, we're talking with our Center Gives friends tomorrow, Center Foundation. Those folks have been doing message after message after message over the last number of days. Hey, don't forget us. Hey, don't forget us. Maybe for this election, it's like, yeah, forget us.
For the election, not
for the election.
Penn State will send out plenty of notices on giving opportunities for you, the alumni.
I'm talking about the election.
I understand.
Did they send out one message like, okay, that's it? I just wonder. I think it's a problem. They probably don't. Like, we got the people we want. That's fine. Is that the way we want things to run? Anyway, let me go back to the track and field thing. All right. So the Faith Kipyegon is going to try to become the first woman to break the 4-minute mile. All right. Let's play our favorite game, Quiz the Ironhead. Since Roger Bannister did it in 1954, I think I got that year right, how many men have broken the sub-4-minute mile? How many men? No women so far. And again, they're 4 minutes 7.64. She's 8 seconds off. That's going to be a challenge to shave 8 seconds off that time. Maybe she can do it. How many men have broken the 4-minute mile?
Where is the race at? Is it
in Paris?
Altitude?
It's in the race next month is in Paris.
Gotcha. You did say it. All right. Yep. Do we know what the altitude of Paris is? Like, does that play into it at all?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
It's an international track event. It's in Paris.
Yeah.
All right. There we go. How many men have broken the 4-minute mile?
I have no idea.
Oh, well, this is the part where you guess.
I'll say 112.
No. Way low.
Low. Okay.
1,200. You're still low.
3,000.
Now you're too high. You're being ridiculous.
2,100.
Still too high.
1,750.
Oh! We'll give it to him.
All right.
1,755.
Okay.
1,755 men have broken the 4-minute mile. No women have broken the 4-minute mile. Now, when I saw that stat, all right, again, and folks, you can believe what you want to believe, okay? This whole argument about transgender athletes, okay? We just had another protest in downtown State College the other day. Allen Street Gates, people, you know, chanting, toting signs, and so on. Okay, I get it. But, you know, for these various female athletes now that have stepped forward to say, hey, this isn't right. There's something wrong here. That, you know, if you're a transgender athlete, there are absolute advantages for a transgender, now female athlete against a biological female athlete. And there are some people that continue to poo-poo this, like, no, that's not true, or you're blowing it out of proportion. And then I saw this stat. 1,755 men have broken the 4-minute mile. Not one woman has ever done it. Now, again, I just made somebody angry by pointing out the obvious. I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, I've never, there's been various arguments on this whole thing. But then I saw this one, I'm like, holy fright, really? I mean, 755 to none. And so the basic idea, and we're still seeing these stories, arguments in the state of Maine and some other places, at some colleges and so on. Can we get past all of the ideology and all that stuff and just look at the basics to say men have physical advantages over women, and so when you do the transgender thing, which I'll admit I still don't understand. I don't get it. All right? I'm not going to lie. I don't understand. But do these biological female athletes have an argument? The answer is yes. Yes, they do. I mean, look at this. 755 to none. And so for the folks, I'm not anti-transgender. Don't misunderstand. No. But the numbers are plain. Now, again, this is a thorny issue. It's one of the thorny ones right now. And the idea is, okay, well, what do we do? Why? Well, I gave you the answer ages ago. You have men's sports, women's sports, and transgender sports. Now, that'll never fly because the number of transgender athletes is really, really, really small. It's a really small number of total people. So, of course, that'll never fly. So I don't have any quick answers to this one, but when I saw that track and field statistic there, I'm like, holy fright. Is that an accident? 755 men broke the 4-minute mile, no women? I don't think so. I just, that, I don't know. I don't know if you have a thought on that. It's just, if you needed a statistic to show anything, there it is. Now, again, I don't have any quick answers to this one. All right? I try to see both sides on any issue. Really, really, really do. But this number, this blew me away. I'm like, oh, are you kidding me? Really? Does that fit into this debate over athletes and biological women's sports and all this other stuff? There it is. It's just the numbers are clear. I don't know. You have a thought before we take a break, or you want to leave that one alone?
No, I mean,
it's just so
if
stunning.
If it didn't make a difference, then why in the world would we have different leagues for men and women? I mean, everybody for centuries has recognized that there are physical differences. between men and women. And in terms of strength, power, speed, yes, it's just an inherent advantage that men have. It's not a debatable point. That's what I don't understand is how there are people arguing that it's not. And the only argument I ever hear is, well, there are women that beat men in races. It's like, okay, but what we're talking about is the top men and the top women. And there's nowhere where the top woman, again, in where we're talking about speed or strength, there isn't a sport out there where the top women's performance is better than the top man's. It's because there are physical differences. And those differences don't just go away if you're transitioning. You still have the DNA makeup. Now, again, could there be women that beat trans men? Of course, because you're not necessarily, like if LeBron James transitions, like nobody's beating him on the women's side. If it's a, which is often what happens here with these, Leah Thomas was a middle of the road-ish male swimmer. Well, okay, yes, that swimmer now against top women is very competitive or able to win. Well, that, again, that there is a reason we have men's sports and women's sports. And we've always been able to recognize that difference, and I don't know why some suddenly are not able to recognize that difference. That does seem odd to me. Now, if you want to allow them to compete in the event, and then you present the top female competitors the top prizes, and if you want to keep track of the time and you want to hand out to the top trans athlete in those events, fine. But you can't be giving the award for a women's race to somebody who was born male. And that just seems painfully obvious to me.
And I think it's obvious to most people, but yet the issue continues, or the argument continues. And again, this is not hating, none of that, okay? Somebody right now hates me because I just brought this up. No. I like to solve problems, okay? And this is a problem that just shouldn't be there. Now, you actually had that's an interesting thought. If you have a transgender woman, girl, racer, and they are in the race, that you have the biological numbers and you have the transgender person numbers. And if there is more than one transgender, swimmer or something like that, okay, well, who won that? In other words, they race together, but they're separate. The problem is they don't want that either. We got to take a break. When I saw these mile run numbers, I just thought, oh my gosh, there it is. There's just absolutely, without a doubt, clear evidence that, okay, we've got to figure this out and stop these crazy arguments. Anyway, let's take a break. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. What do you think? We'll have a little more open line time. Joe Bastardi talking weather later this hour, when we come back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Daughter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BellefonteCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BellefonteCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and, of course, the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday. Jeff and Scott with you. Phone line is open and available for your use. One final open line segment here at 814-954-7266. The final segment on Mondays, we turn over to Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, and we talk all things weather. Yay, boring weather! Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the boring
weather. We'll see if Joe agrees with you. There we go. All right.
All right, Trump and company. Yeah, we can't ignore them. All right. Interesting weekend. All right, not just weather, boring weather-wise. All right?
Was it now?
Interesting weekend. Let's run down some things.
All right,
now, again, you can love Trump, hate Trump. That's up to you. Okay? Scott here, I've mentioned a number of times, three times, I've never voted for Trump. I haven't. Now, I don't say that with pride. I'm just saying it. All right?
You can love Trump or hate Trump, but you have to love us. I mean, come on.
Well, that would
couple
be,
of lovable fellows that, like that, us.
Well, as long as you don't bang your head on the wall again. So interesting weekend. For instance, now, if you follow headlines, you should have heard of all of these.
All right.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is going to be in Turkey on Thursday, and he's saying to Vladimir Putin, hey, let's sit down and talk. Whoa. Now, we don't know if this is actually going to happen, okay? This would be a big give for Putin to actually go to Turkey, a neutral country, and sit down and talk about ending this war in Ukraine.
Yeah.
All right. But Trump and company had been pushing this and pushing this. European leaders got involved over the weekend. Could this actually happen on Thursday? If so, it would be gigantic. It would be huge. All right, I've got more, but let's take a call.
I would not recommend holding your breath on it, but yes,
no,
it would
no,
be
huge. Probably not.
All right. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
So I'm kind of curious. Like, I've always blamed the rhinos, the Mitch McConnells, and the other Republicans for being just a bunch of wet noodles, because they're a bunch of, like, Bushes. Bunch of socialists.
Okay.
But, you know, what choices do we have? We had Democrat communists and Republican socialists, except for Ronald Reagan. And then prior to that, 100 years of these turds running the country, especially Democrats destroying the media.
Okay.
But my question is, now that we have a real man in office, a real conservative, why wouldn't you vote for him, Scott? Because you sound pretty smart.
I'd like to think I am pretty smart. Trump and conservative don't necessarily go together. He's had plenty of liberal stuff in his past.
Well, yeah, but people can change, believe it or not. I mean, now he's a moderate. I mean, he's really not conservative, but compared to what's out there, I'm going to call him a conservative. If he were a real conservative, the first day he would have asked Congress to declare war on Mexico for for the turds they sent over and allowed them to break our border. That's a violation of international law. So I would have gone in and confiscated all their assets and probably killed all their leaders.
Ooh, how...
And then the next day I would have probably declared war on Canada and built a border wall. And then I would tell Iran, if you spin your centrifuge, we will nuke you. We will build in the button. Now, that's what a conservative would do. It's America first. You screw with us. You know, why are we in this land? Because we screwed the Indians over. Might makes right, whether you like it or not. And wimpy Republicans are the problem. Because we know what the Democrats are. A bunch of socialists. They're not very smart people. They're really not. I've never met an intelligent Democrat in my life.
Oh.
And that includes family members, and I tell them that, and I
not
insult them.
Not one. Okay.
Not, and I'm telling you, not one, because if they debate me, they lose. Because pick an issue that a Democrat could debate me on and win. Any issue. Pick one.
Oh, you want me to pick one?
Pick one.
Social Security.
Okay, Social Security is an entitlement. It's welfare. There's no such thing as the Social Security program as defined by the Supreme Court. In 1934, they tried it. They ruled it unconstitutional. That's why it's FICA. It's another income tax. Income is profit and gain on privileged activity. When you're an employee-employer, it's a master-servant relationship, and it gets paid back as an entitlement. Social Security is welfare. Now, you think you paid into it. You didn't. There is no Social Security fund nor insurance program. It was ruled unconstitutional in 34. It is a lie. It's an illusion. Now, do I believe there should be Social Security? That's a political issue. But you've been lied to. So, next issue.
Well, now, wait a minute. No, hold on a second here. All right. Social Security is a political issue. Yeah, okay, yes. But it's one that's been around for almost 100 years, and it's supported a whole lot of Americans in that stretch of time.
Yeah, it's a fraud. If that money was put into the stock market, you'd make a lot of money. You have just enough to survive. It's a con job. It's a fraud. The Supreme Court ruled the government cannot create programs like that. All it is it's an entitlement. You pay it in as an income tax. It's not an income tax. And when you go to collect it, you say, I'm collecting my money back. Well, what about all the income taxes you paid? Are you collecting all that back? I mean, it's an illusion. It's one big Ponzi scheme. People don't want to hear it because they're the facts. Listen, I paid in over the years. I was in a position where employees stole my money. I was in a position where unions stole my money. You know, AFTRA stole my money for 10 years. I was the only non-member in AFTRA, which was a radio union shop. And they stole my money for 10 years. So, I mean, I was compelled to do it. We're a free country, right? I can't work without belonging to a union. Are you stealing my money for a pretended program that I may collect when I'm 65? Where the hell is that free? That's socialism. Am I wrong?
I could argue that you're not wrong on some of that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But you know what? My position is liberty. So if you want it, you should be able to have it. In other words, if you want to get involved in a Ponzi scheme and the cashless society, which we've had since June 25th, 1968, all money is monetized debt. There is no tangible backing to the currency. They stole our money then. But if you want to be involved in that system, God bless you. But when you compel everyone to do it, that's where slavery comes in. And America is a slave country. And Donald Trump is nothing more than moderate. So he is.
Now,
moderate.
For a lot of conservatives, the word moderate's a dirty word.
Yeah, and I use the term conservative loosely, because what does that actually mean?
Well,
I'm
you
a
tell
constitutionalist.
Me.
Well, conservative nowadays means conserving what's going. You know, conserving the tax system, conserving this, conserving the status quo. Hey, listen, what Republican wants to abolish public government schools? I have been wanting to abolish it since I was in ninth grade, because I saw the fraud. I want to take those teachers and let them shine in private institutions, the good teachers. Let everything be privatized. And if they're going to steal your tax dollars for education, which means to give proper moral, physical, and intellectual instruction, let's have them bid on that and let all private institutions bid and let your child be educated in schools that you wanted them. If you're a Catholic, if you're a Christian, if you're a Muslim, if you want your kid to learn mathematics or electronics, there should be 100 choices. You know, I asked my parents when I was in sixth grade, I said, why can't I choose the school I go to? Well, because you were zoned for a ball. I said, well, hold on a minute. I can choose where to eat. I can choose where to get my shoes. I can choose. But because my family was conservative, my dad was a cop, and I would also ask my dad, you know, Article 1, Section 21, I was in 7th grade, it says the right of a citizen to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. That's Pennsylvania law, Article 1, Section 21. You as a police officer, are you going to question me if I have a gun? Well, sure I am. My dad was a good guy because that's the law. I said, no, the law is the Constitution, it's the highest law.
I wish we had more time, but we got to take a break in a moment.
We can pick this up on another morning,
I would love to keep going on this. I really would. If you have two neighbors next to each other, the one neighbor is pretty well off, the other neighbor is not. The well-off kid, I guess, privately gets to go to the nice private school, and the poor kid gets to go to the poor school. Right?
Well, there's now,
if it's public school, they get to go to the same school. What?
We don't have time.
We've got even within that,
I mean, depending on which neighborhood you're in, the public schools vary pretty greatly from one to another in terms of resources available and curriculum, quite frankly.
Money.
Yeah, but even what some districts emphasize certain things over other districts in terms of, I even taking money aside. That's a lengthy discussion that we can get into.
So. All right, because we got to take a break.
We appreciate the phone call.
We got our friend Joe coming up here in just a moment.
We do.
All right, so we're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Trump and company had a good weekend. I mean, they had a good weekend. U.S. and China might have a trade agreement. That's good. Going to the Middle East and getting a brand new 747, which people are arguing about now. That's not bad. White House had a pretty good weekend. All right, keep that in mind because we got a break. We'll come back with more of the show after this.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. This Father's Day weekend, the Fox will be giving away a spacious hot springs hot tub during a Belfont cruise at Talleyrand Park in downtown Belfont. Stop by these fine locations and get signed up to become a qualifier for the contest. Dottery Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg and at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall.
The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Belfont Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an insider, only from 987 The Fox.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Fox Sports.
Oh, it is a Monday morning, but it is a good Monday morning. Why? Because we have boring weather. Boring. I'm happy. Right, I suspect one guest that we have joining us via the phone line is not as happy. We say good morning to Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. I'm still down here and getting ready to finish up my... it's kind of funny, I'm not just dropping his name because he's like one of the Griffin coaches ever to walk the face of the planet, Casey Cunningham. But I've been close with Casey Cunningham since 2 days after he got on campus. And part of the reason was when the guy he beat in the finals of the Nationals, our guy, Clint Musser, and I helped out with Clint when he was here a little bit, helped train him in the summer before his senior season. And so, you know, I'm never going to hear the end of that. But he always, I work as much on the road because of my computer. I don't just say, hey, guys, I'm off on a vacation for 2 weeks and carry Weatherbell while I'm gone, you know. That's not what goes on. But he just relentlessly rides me about being on vacation. But, oh, hey, is that vacation? If I'm out of town 2 days, that's a vacation. And I go, well, you know, I've observed you, you know, when they're on the road, and they love what they do. The coaches love what they do. So theoretically, when they're at a match, or like this week they have to go out to the world team trials, isn't that vacation for them if you're doing what you love to do? So I guess I'm still on vacation here. Last week when I talked to you, we were heading out to West Texas to chase tornadoes.
Yeah.
We did not get any tornadoes. We were right out there where the film Landman, what's the name of the guy that produces Yellowstone and all these series? I don't know. Taylor Sheridan. And honestly, goodness, we went by places that, you know, they have the guys live, and we, you know, the whole Permian Basin thing. And but the only thing we encountered was a dust storm, and this was the darndest dust storm I ever saw. Well, it's the only dust storm I ever saw. But usually, if you're going to get a dust storm from a thunderstorm, it's because of the wind rushing out of the thunderstorm, right? What was going on with this one is, We were caught into the inflow area of the thunderstorm, and so what happened was dust. You couldn't even see across the street. Dust is blowing into the thunderstorm, creating this cloud that the thunderstorm cloud was just the most bizarre thing you'll ever see, because it had, you know, the dust comes in and it gets lifted up into the cloud in the updraft. And I don't know, we didn't get underneath that thunderstorm, but I'm trying to figure out it was raining mud or something because of all the dust that was in there. Huh. So we completely failed in West Texas, all right? So we come back, and we're going to stay overnight in Fredericksburg, and day two of the tornado chase is Tuesday. So we're on our way through Fredericksburg, and a lightning bolt missed the car by 25, 30. I never saw a lightning bolt that close.
Whoa.
To be in my life. And then when we got into Fredericksburg, the next morning at 7 o'clock, there was a tornado-warned storm over Fredericksburg. So we tried to chase that for a while, but in general, it just turned out that we were chasing... The thing is with tornadoes, all right, when you see lightning all over the place, like let's say there's just lightning all over the place, generally you don't have a tornado. If the lightning focuses in one place, that's when the tornadic activity is developing, all right? So if you see a cluster of lightning bolts on the radar and you start seeing the little curve in the radar echo, that's where the tornadoes are developing. So the next day we went over to A&M, Dr. Timothy Logan, who is their lightning expert, got a chance to meet with him, and it's unbelievable what research is producing in academia. A lot of people get on my case that with all this climate stuff. I get on the case of the climate scientists because, they keep researching the same thing. By that I mean, if it's settled science, why do you have to keep researching it? Stuff like lightning bolts and where lightning bolts are going to hit and the rate of lightning return in relation to rainfall, these things are just unbelievable what they're doing. And I believe Dr. Paul Murkowski over here at Penn State, I think he's the head of the department here, he's big into severe weather. Garrett's big into severe weather. This guy at A&M showed me stuff that it was way over my pay grade. Now, my son is a lot better at severe weather than I am, all right? By that, I mean he just lives for severe weather. And so those two guys were sitting there talking about this, and I was just looking at it, marveling at what they did. What they're doing is they're lining up the amount of lightning discharge with rainfall rates. And so the amount of lightning discharge can actually be an accurate predictor of how much rain is falling in an area. So this was just mind-boggling stuff. And so on my vacation, I am, doing things to learn about things that may help me down the road. Well, my son's company is directly involved. It's just mind-boggling what these guys can do. They have an AI that predicts where lightning is going to go off before the thunderstorm even develops. In other words, what happens is they have an AI, and it's just invaluable for golf courses and, football fields, and I would think every school district in the country. That's why I talked to Garrett, and I'm saying, Garrett, gee, this is crazy. You know what you're involved in here? You're going to be able to take Dad out to dinner. Buy Dad a swimming pool over here.
It. There you go.
Huh. Yeah, but and folks, you can't, and this is one of the things that there's a chance I've been, I might be involved in the Science Advisory Board over the EPA. This is one thing, if I ever got in there, I would be pushing research in certain areas of the weather that we have to have. Can you imagine, what they have is they have a mapping system of Houston, Texas, where they have a lightning mapping system, right? They also have one, and OU is doing this stuff, and Georgia Tech is doing this stuff. Well, for Penn State, I don't know if anybody in the Penn State Media Department is listening. I don't even know if they're. It's funny. I'm more welcome at A&M Meteorology Department than the Penn State Meteorology Department, probably. But here's a crazy thing. Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, every city in Pennsylvania. If you start thinking, if you can get a lightning mapping network going, you could really up the levels of understanding exactly where things are going to go off and where things are worse. We have a pretty good idea now. Oh, here's the other thing about golf courses. This is amazing. Do you know it's the positive charge that is more likely to kill you if you get hit than a negative charge? You hear about people surviving lightning strikes, and the lightning strikes people survive are the negative charges. The positive charges, in the cases, Dr. Logan does a lot of forensic work, every single positive charge lightning bolt, and can tell what's positive and negative, that has hit a person, has killed the person. And that the gruesome thing about the positive charges is they don't come out of the core of the storm. Like let's say you're watching a storm come in, you see all the lightning bolts going off, right? Well, some of them are positive, some of them are negative. But the positive charges that they've recorded deaths in, at least down here in Texas, have all come out of the top of the cloud, the anvil cloud, and have hit people outside the storm. The people are 5-10 miles away, and all of a sudden a bolt comes out of the blue, which is why, you know, you golfers out there, you know, when the thunderstorm's within 10-15 miles, they set the horns off and get you off the golf course. But it is a fascinating subject. And just things like that are being done in research on a micro scale in the weather that are just invaluable. And one thing that, you know, with all the cutting that's going on, the cutting has to be done with a surgeon's tool. It can't be done with a blunt force knife. And it's instrument, I shouldn't say knife. But what happens is I'm concerned that you've got guys rushing into this situation. Let's impress the president as much as we can and just start cutting across the board. And I know that that's a little bit of a problem. But, you know, I'm hoping that I get on because I will be, being that whether good or bad, I'm the oldest private sector global forecaster on the planet now, the most experienced, I guess we should say, at 69 years old. And I can see where you could do this stuff from the outside rather than, okay, well, let's just get rid of this and get rid of that. I'm not happy that they're getting rid of the, what they've done is that they've had a scale to estimate the amount of damage each storm does. And because of inflation, it's going through the roof. And you've got people in the administration, I think, that are saying, well, they're using that to say, well, it's getting worse, which it's not. What's happening is more infrastructure in the way, and the prices have escalated. So a storm that might have done $500 million damage back in the 1950s is doing $5 to $10 billion damage now. And then, of course, the other side uses that and say, hey, it's getting worse, right? But you should always keep a record of that stuff. And I saw where they're cutting that. That's something I say, hey, listen, let's step back and look at this. Because it's important that the nation be what we call weather ready. But it's also important that perspective, but the whole picture is that. I've been lately just hammering the U.K., all right? You should see the headlines coming out of the U.K. I have clients over there, so they asked me about heat bomb, right, to go off this weekend in England, 22 degrees Celsius. You know what 22 Celsius is? That's what we're going to reach today here in State College, about 72, 73 degrees or whatever it is. It's not a heat bomb. And they show...
God, Bastardi, the heat bombs are hitting us today!
we're
going to hunker down and be prepared, thanks to you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, it is, you know, these kids have climate anxiety. Well, that is something that has just been pushed on them.
That is,
right?
Yeah, that is truly tragic. Mr. Bastardi, believe it or not, we are already out of time. Oh, what, pray tell, should we do with this there?
Well, first of all, I want to say a lot of rain this week, and Memorial Day weekend is going to be very cool here relative to averages. There's a big cool shot coming in middle of next week to end the month. But the rest of the weather, I'm sorry, I went off.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.